Finally today, this year's Arthur C. Clarke Award turned out to be a small publishing landmark. It was the first time in its 20-year history that all the shortlisted authors for this prestigious science fiction prize were British. Admittedly, the winner, Jeff Ryman, was born in Canada, but he spent most of his life in the UK, so the judges claimed him as one of ours. But if British science fiction is busy heading off into the stratosphere, how come so many readers still regard it as unknown, even slightly hostile territory? As a new series on Radio 4 explores the rich history of our sci-fi tradition, I'm joined by novelist Justina Robson and publisher Joe Fletcher from Gallants to ask why, even now, going boldly where no man or woman has gone before still represents, well, a bit of an image problem. Justina, can I start with you? What's going on here? I mean, why is British science fiction doing so particularly well at the moment?
First of all, there was a moment called the New Worlds moment when Colin Greenend and Mike Moorcock and Dave Garnett decided that it was about time science fiction got taken a bit more seriously and started doing things like writing PhDs about it and becoming incredibly enthusiastic about promoting it. That produced some really serious and worthwhile novels. And after that, suddenly Ian Banks started to appear. I always mention him because I think he really was at the forefront of this movement. He, and then later another writer called Peter Hamilton, started to write very, very fun, riotous, romping adventures, but they were also very politically contemporary, smart pop culture books, which left no stone unturned in their quest for enjoyment, but also some really serious thinking. And then confidence began to build and people started to go off in all directions doing all kinds of things.
Joe, if I come to you, in a recent review of Jan Morris's novel Harve, Ursula Gwynne says, "Probably Morris, certainly her publisher, will not thank me for saying that Harve is in fact science fiction." Now, why would any publisher be upset at having their book labelled as science fiction?
It's one of the things that's always astonished me. We have writers of great literary merit who are writing science fiction, but if you label it as such, they get completely panic-stricken. And I think it's because for many of them, they still think of science fiction as being the pulp fiction of the 1960s.
Justina, you believe, don't you, that if somebody hasn't read science fiction as a child, they're never really going to get it as an adult?
It's not the belief I have, it's just something that I've observed as a phenomenon. It's a tendency. If you don't go through that period, I suppose in your early teens, where you do come across science fiction fantasy and read it and really enjoy it, then later on, if you've assimilated the idea that science fiction is this pulp stuff from the 60s and also the preserve of these awful nerdy geek people that you don't want to associate with and become soiled by, you know, the Star Trek freak with the ears and, there's this social stigma and it's a status thing and a power thing in society. You don't want to tar yourself with that brush. And therefore, you're quite resistant to even picking this stuff up. And if you do pick it up, you're kind of reminded of childhood books. And there's, again, that sense of, oh, am I reverting? Mm. There's a huge identity anxiety about reading it, I think.
Well, you've raised a really interesting point there about status. And I just wondered, I mean, as a science fiction writer, you've been shortlisted twice for the Arthur C. Clarke Award, but you've never been shortlisted for one of the mainstream prizes so far.
That's right.
I don't know, the Orange Prize, the Whitbread Prize. Now, I mean, as a sci-fi author, do you feel that there's some kind of, not wittingly, but some sort of unconscious exclusion going on that's actually very frustrating?
Yes, I do. And I know I'm not the only one. I did ask once some prize administrators from various publishers about why this might be. And I said, who is choosing not to enter us? Is it the editor? Is it the prize administrator? Is it the people on the judging committee? And no one could give a straight answer.
Let's ask Joe. I mean, she's the person who's responsible in part, I imagine, for putting in authors for prizes.
Absolutely.
Now, what happens?
Well, I certainly put in everyone that I think is good enough to win a particular prize, I enter. But for some of the publishers I've worked for in the past, I have had to fight to get those entered.
But then what happens with somebody like Margaret Atwood, Doris Lessing, who it seems to me often write books that incorporate an awful lot of what I might call science fiction or fantasy, but they don't seem to have that problem. Now, is that something to do with marketing, the way they're marketed?
It is partially to do with publishing, and you can include people like Ursula Le Guin, Joyce Carol Oates. They've been published initially, I think, as mainstream writers, and when they stray into science fictional territories, as far as the critics and the literary world are concerned. They're doing it from a literary standpoint.
But all the same, I mean, is it not the case? I mean, obviously attitudes have to change, publishers have to change the way they think and promote science fiction, but there's something about both the authors and the fans, the readers of science fiction, a certain kind of defensive cliquishness that can be a little bit off-putting. I mean, I've got a quote here from a well-known critic who says that she particularly loves reading science fiction because it's like having, you know, a secret author that not everybody knows about, so that makes her feel special. Now, that seems to me not a very helpful attitude. I mean, Justina, what do you think about that?
It isn't very helpful, but it's quite understandable. It's very much that, oh, I loved that band before they were popular. I knew them first.
Absolutely.
I've got good taste, and now suddenly everybody's got it. There is a very strong sense of people who, you know, are completely devoted to and love science fiction of, oh, we don't want the precious to be given away to all those other people, because they're almost like they're going to lose something very important to them. And it's a sense of their identity, I think, that they feel they will lose.
Jo, have
and
you
in the science fiction community, sorry, is something which is very socially bound together as a band of brothers. And there's this, I suppose, a fear that the group might be threatened, you know, if everybody joins in.
I suppose part of the problem is how a book is published. And if you think back to the time when John Wyndham was a great best-selling writer, and the fact that he wrote science fiction was neither here nor there, part of it, I think, had to do with the number of books that were being published, i.e. not that many, and therefore no one actually had to categorise anything as anything. What happened in, I suppose it started in the 1970s, but especially in the 1980s, when there was a huge explosion in the publishing world, and rather than just having shelves of new books and old books, you had to categorise them as literary, romance, crime, science fiction, horror, children's. So you had to decide what went into those shelves. So we're now left with a situation where we have the science fiction and fantasy sections. And when we at Gallants, for example, make a decision how to publish a book, what we try to do is put on a cover that is not going to put off any reader.
Thanks to Jo Fletcher and Justina Robson.